the Lord said, let there be crap.
What's with all the crap?
It's not crap.
It's crap-infest.
I can't believe it only comes 52 times a year.
Crap from the past.
Crap from the past.
Crap from the past.
Stop! It's hammer time!
Funk, rock, Peter Gabriel singing in German, soul, old school rap, ABBA singing in Spanish, glam, hair metal, Milli Vanilli singing in English, and of course, disco.
Disco is the pop music of tomorrow.
It's all pop, and it's only on Crap from the Past.
Shake your booty, shake your groove thing, shake your rump to the funk.
There's a lot of crap on the radio, but there's only one Crap from the Past.
It's craptacular.
Worldwide at crapfromthepast.com, and Friday nights at 10:30 on
KFAI.
dig this.
Dig this indeed. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis, 106.7 FM St. Paul. Radio without boundaries. Online at crapfromthepast.com and kfai.org. I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. Welcome to Crap from the Past. A bunch of pop music you haven't heard on the air in a long time. And this week, I got a theme. I thought of the theme literally 1 hour ago and scraped this together as fast as I could. I was inspired by an article written by Sean Ross. He's a radio research guy who works for Edison Research. And he posted a column this week called The Moment of Truth Single. He did it in the context of the new Kelly Clarkson single, which pretty much disappointed on every level. The whole world was watching and expecting big things from Miss Kelly Clarkson, and the single she put out to radio fell on its face, unfortunately. And Sean was inspired to write a whole column about this. The Moment of Truth single. It can be the first single from the sophomore album. It can be the first thing you release after your huge success. Basically, the whole world is watching, and you can make or break your career with the Moment of Truth single. So this week, what we're doing on the entire show tonight, Moment of Truth singles that were not terribly successful, whether artistically or in chart performance or commercially, you know, you get the idea. So what we started off with, Peter Gabriel. The So album was huge in 1986-87. Sledgehammer, big hit, big time, big hit. And artistically, a remarkable creation, start to finish. I really loved So. And what happened? For 5 years, Peter Gabriel released nothing. There was a greatest hits in there, but no new music. Kinda upsetting. Well, 1993 rolled around, a good 6 or 7 years after So, and Peter Gabriel put out an album called Us. The first single from it was called... Actually, that wasn't even the first single. The first single from that was called Digging in the Dirt, which I just thought of right now. Oops. Well, Digging in the Dirt, an even bigger commercial failure than Steam, which actually hit the top 40. I played you Steam, which... Oops. My bad. It was the second single from that album, and it just didn't click for me. It's a fine song in its own right, but really, it's just Sledgehammer squashed into Big Time, and it's a hybrid of the two. Really, it's the same song. Yeah. So anyway, you get the idea. Peter Gabriel from 1992, and Steam. And now, Kim Carnes. Kim Carnes had been recording since the late 70s, and More Love was a good-sized hit in 1980, but it wasn't a big hit. It just... a good size hit. Betty Davis Eyes, however, put her on the map. Big time in 1981. One of the biggest hits of the 80s. It would be hard to follow that up with anything. And in 1982, about a year and a half after Betty Davis Eyes, Kim Carnes released a brand new album, and it didn't work. I'm going to play you that first single from that album in 1982. From the fall of 82, this is Kim Carnes and a song called Voyeur. This was the follow-up to Betty Davis Eyes? You can see why this didn't do so well. That's right, the Moment of Truth on Crap from the Past.
consumer, and you demand
Ron Boogie Monster Gerber on Crap from the Past.
Step by step, ooh baby, gonna get to you, girl. Step by step.
It can be commercially successful and be a miserable failure. Ouch. So, Step by Step from New Kids on the Block, number one single from 1990, but is that the song people are going to remember the New Kids on the Block for? No. Hangin' Tough was the second album from New Kids on the Block. I can't say I was a big fan, but hoo boy, that thing was successful. You Got the Right Stuff was a big hit. I'll Be Loving You Forever. Please Don't Go Girl. Oh, wait, no, that was from their first album. Bunch of singles. but I can't say I liked any of them. But really, that cemented their place in history. And when it was time for a follow-up, the whole world was watching New Kids on the Block. And when they released Step by Step in 1990, of course it hit the top of the pop charts, but man, that's a weak record. And if they just burst upon the scene with that Step by Step record, they'd be completely forgotten today. Although it's not like there's a New Kids on the Block revival happening anytime soon. That's what we're doing. I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. What we're doing this week, the Moment of Truth single. It's what you release when the whole world is watching right after your big success or after your first album, something like that. So the songs we've played thus far fit in nicely with that. I should explain. I was inspired by an article written by Sean Ross. You can find it on the internet. It's out there, talking about the Moment of Truth single. And it came about in the context of the new Kelly Clarkson single, Not So Good. Radio didn't like it. Nobody really seems to like it. And the whole world was watching. Expectations were pretty high after Since You've Been Gone and Walk Away and the other big hits from the last Kelly Clarkson album. And Mr. Ross was inspired to write this column, and I was inspired to take his column and just run with it. So that's what we're doing this week. That's right. The Moment of Truth single. And in my case, I'm doing songs that were not terribly successful, songs that kind of tarnish the image of the artist. New Kids on the Block, probably not all that proud of Step by Step, although hard to speak for any of the new kids at this point. Jewel, nobody's favorite. She was kind of folksy in a dumbed-down Joni Mitchell sort of way, and I can't say I ever liked her, but Who Will Save Your Soul? Could go either way. You Were Made for Me was the follow-up that sounded just like Who Will Save Your Soul. Foolish Games, really wretched single, but three big hits from that first Jewel record. I say record, it's actually CD, because I don't believe they were pressed on vinyl at that point. And then, nothing for a little while. The whole world was watching. What was Jewel gonna do for that second album? The first single from that second album came out in late 1998, and really, it's a pretty bad song. I'm not going to spare you from the pain of it. I'm going to subject you to the pain of it. This is Jewel from late 1998 and a song called Hands. You're not going to enjoy this at all on Crap from the Past.
If I could tell the world just one thing, it would be that we're all okay. And not to worry, 'cause worry is wasteful and useless in times like these. I won't be made useless, won't be idle with despair. I'll gather myself around my faith, light the darkness most fear. Golden shoes.
Monster Gerber.
By the way, I certainly don't mean to be giving the impression that everybody loves disco. I'm not a disco fan. I find it mind-bending. It's a contributing factor to epilepsy.
On Crap from the Past.
Do you remember it? If you remember it, that's good. If not, that's okay. Yes, Owner of a Lonely Heart was a gigantic hit at the end of 1983 for Yes. Produced by Trevor Horn, there'd really never been anything quite like that particular song. Way out there. And that was from the album 90125. They had a couple more small hits from 90125. Leave It being one of them. It Can Happen being the third single from 90125. So that was 1983-84 for the band Yes. By the way, Yes had been recording since late 60s, early 70s, and their first really big hit, well, second, okay, Roundabout was a good size hit, but Owner of a Lonely Heart really broke them through to the top 40 world. And when it came time for a follow-up, the whole world was watching. The new album was called Big Generator. It, too, was produced by Trevor Horn. And what happened? The first single was Love Will Find a Way. Top 40 radio pretty much turned a deaf ear on that. Big Generator was the second single from that. And Rhythm of Love? To the rhythm. Yeah, that was in there somewhere. No, Top 40 radio ignored it in 1987. The spotlight had passed by, yes, at that point. And the Moment of Truth single, not terribly successful. Would you say that, yes, cracked under pressure? I don't know. I kind of like the song, but the rest of the world didn't seem to be as enthusiastic as I was. So, I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. This is Crap from the Past, beaming out worldwide from Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 FM St. Paul. Radio without boundaries. Not a single boundary. No. And it's online at crapfromthepast.com and kfai.org. This week, a hastily assembled theme show, which I assembled literally 1.5 hours before I left the house tonight. So it was thrown together in a hurry, and it's based on an article that I read written by Sean Ross, who works for Edison Research and writes an online column that's pretty terrific, and it's about radio, and he's talking about the Moment of Truth single. When the whole world is watching you, you release something. It's usually a 45 or some single from the next album that's going to be the next big thing while the whole world is watching. Sometimes they're successful, sometimes they're not. And actually, in Sean's article, which I have here on the screen, he gave some examples about some successful examples of these Moment of Truth singles that we're talking about here. He talks about My Life by Billy Joel, which was the first single that Billy Joel released following The Stranger. My Life did just fine and kept the creative streak going. You Should Be Dancing by the Bee Gees in 1976. At that point, the whole world was watching them, and they did just fine. Run to You by Bryan Adams, Le Freak by Chic, Dance the Night Away by Van Halen, All Night Long by Lionel Richie, Hit Me With Your Best Shot by Pat Benatar. At that point, all of those singles were Moment of Truth singles. When the whole world was watching these particular artists, waiting to see what would happen, and they came through just fine. Other examples, perhaps less successful examples? Let's talk about the B-52s. Well, I gotta say, I was listening to K104, WSPK in Poughkeepsie. I could pick it up by my mom's house. So I was driving around on a summer vacation listening to K104, and I heard one of them Make It or Break It songs where they play something brand new that just arrives, and they rip it out of the envelope, throw it on the air at night, and then you vote. Do you like it? Do you hate it? And they played Love Shack by the B-52s, which had just come out in 1988, 89, something like that. And 14% of the world loved it. The other 86% said, we hate it. This song's terrible. Mind you, this is Love Shack, a song that went on to be a giant-size hit. Rome was the follow-up, also a giant-size hit for the B-52s. And the Cosmic Thing album, big, really big in 1989. So, when it was time for a follow-up to that, the whole world was watching the B-52s. And what do they put out? Good stuff. Just ain't so good. And that's what I thought when it came out, and the pop charts thought so as well. The record buying public thought so as well. And in the grand scheme of things, when you think back, B-52s, okay, Love Shack springs to mind, Rock Lobster, Private Idaho, a couple other songs, but really not good stuff. You're not gonna remember this song even while it's playing. You're not gonna remember it from 1992. B-52s on Crap from the Past.
Monster Gerber.
This is the sound of the 80s. Everybody's looking for it, and we've got it. You see, when the other kids were following the baseball scores, I was following the charts. Huh. You can ask me anything about popular music, and I know it. Uh-huh. Go ahead, ask me things, right?
Right!
On Crap from the Past.
Four of them, they were photogenic, they were from Sweden, and they turned out not to be ABBA. That first Ace of Base album was kind of fun. In a dopey, all the songs sound the same sort of way, there was All That She Wants, and The Sign, and Don't Turn Around, and I'm sure there was a fourth single, I just can't remember what it was off the top of my head. That was 1990, let's call it 93. That was a good time. Light and fluffy, unpretentious. And the whole world was watching when they released a follow-up at the end of 1995, and Beautiful Life turned out to be a decent-sized hit for them. But really, does anybody remember Beautiful Life by Ace of Base? I don't remember what album that was from. I can't remember the name of the album. But there you go. It's that Moment of Truth single that kind of falls on its face and tarnishes the artist's image a little bit. And I think Ace of Base might have been better off not even releasing that second album. Who knows? I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. This is Crap from the Past. And what we're doing this week is Moment of Truth singles. Like I'd mentioned, I was inspired by an article written by Sean Ross that you can find easily on the internet. He works for Edison Research, and he put everything in the context of the new Kelly Clarkson single, which had pretty high expectations and didn't do so well. Nobody really liked it. He gives some other examples that I'm not going to play here because they're a little more recent than I want to go. He talks about Dirty by Christina Aguilera, which was the lead-off single from that second album. People were kind of appalled at the video, and Beautiful became the big hit from it, and everybody forgave her because money cures all ills there when you get right down to it. There's a bunch of others on there. Thank You by Alanis Morissette, which was a chart success at the time and was far and away the best thing on that second Alanis Morissette big album after Jagged Little Pill. Sexy back. Well, we won't talk about some of those. Like a Virgin by Madonna, really successful. That's what she released after that first, the first successful Madonna album, and kind of set her up and running. It's a glistening example of this Moment of Truth single when everybody's watching you, waiting to see what you're going to do. Another one that Sean Ross calls out, When Doves Cry by Prince, the first single he released after 1999. Holy cow, there had never been anything before or since that sounds like When Doves Cry, and people wanted to hear more. And that's what made Prince the genius that he is, pretty much. He never really let up with that. So, Crowded House. Let's talk about Crowded House. Formed from the remains of Split Enz, Neil Finn, a couple other guys from New Zealand and Australia. The first Crowded House record, woo, boy, was that good. In hindsight, it's a lot better than, well, it's just aged remarkably well. Don't Dream It's Over, probably the strongest 45 of the entire decade of the 80s. That's right, Don't Dream It's Over by Crowded House. Don't know what I'm talking about? Go find it. It's remarkable. Something so strong, kind of an anemic follow-up, and really there are much better songs on the album than that. And that was 1987. By the time 88 came around, the whole world was watching to see what Crowded House would do, and they put out a song called Better Be Home Soon, which I thought was a terrific record. And really, the Crowded House fans love this song. It's a lovable song, but radio completely ignored it, much to my dismay and much to the band's dismay as well. I'm going to play that right here. This is a fine song that was overlooked by radio. So how can that be? Well, Crap from the Past is littered with songs like that. From 1988, the first single from that second Crowded House album, this is Better Be Home Soon on Crap from the Past.
Somewhere deep inside, something's got a hold on you, and it's pushing me aside. See it stretch on forever, and I know I'm right for the first time in my life. That's why I tell you, you'd better be home soon. The coats of lies and deception, back to nothingness, like a week in the desert.
Pain if we were to
to end it. But I could start again. You can't depend on it. And I know I'm right. For the first time in my life, that's why I tell you, you better be home soon. Oh, that's why I tell you, you'd better be home soon.
Boogie Monster Gerber.
Get your freak on.
On Crap from the Past.
Sounds kind of good in my headphones. Did you ever wonder what happened to the Escape Club, the guys who did Wild Wild West in 1989, headed for the 90s living in the Wild Wild West? That's what happened to the Escape Club right there. That was the first single from that second album. What second album was called? Oh, Dollars and Sex. That's, you certainly don't remember the album. That came out in 1991. Call It Poison was that first single. And radio just scratched their head. They had no idea what to make of that. I loved it. I, of course, bought it because that's what I do. The second single from that Escape Club album was called I'll Be There, which was... thematically, anyway, it was sort of based on the movie Ghost. It was a really wretched ballad, and it turned out to be a top 10 hit, but really didn't help the reputation of the Escape Club at all. And after that, God only knows what happened to him. But Call It Poison? The whole world was watching, for the most part. Well, no, this is rather a weak example. I would write off the Escape Club as a one-hit wonder. And I guess I should distinguish what we're doing tonight versus one-hit wonders. Tonight is the Moment of Truth single, when the whole world is watching after a really big project. Like, for example, the New Kids on the Block. They would not be construed as a one-hit wonder because that Hangin' Tough album just would not fall off the charts. As much as I wanted it to, it wouldn't. As opposed to, let's say, Vanilla Ice, which was certainly perceived as a one-hit wonder back when he was popular. I'm doing the air quotes around the word popular. So, yeah, so whoever wanted to hear something off that live Vanilla Ice record, no, well, as funny as that is, I don't think that fits the bill tonight. So the Escape Club marginally fits the bill. I probably shouldn't have had it on the list. But I didn't have that many songs to go around when I hastily assembled tonight's theme merely a half hour before I left the house tonight. The St. Paul Blues Festival, scheduled for this Saturday, has been canceled. Refunds will be given at the point of purchase. More information available at 1-866-55-BLUES or online at stpaulbluesfest.org. Once again, the St. Paul Blues Festival has been canceled. KFAI is supported in part by Pulse of the Twin Cities. PulseTC.com, the locally grown alternative analysis of news and popular culture. Check your pulse every day to stay strong in the struggle against indifference. PulseTC.com, the online alternative. I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. This is Crap from the Past, beaming out worldwide from KFAI here in Minneapolis. And this week, I did a whole theme based on an article I read online written by a guy named Sean Ross talking about the Moment of Truth single. The whole world is watching you. What do you do? Is it big? It could be a make or break single for your career. For example, let's talk about the Spin Doctors. Tom cringes when I talk about the Spin Doctors, but I'm going to talk about them anyway. When was this thing? I think the album was released in 91 and finally clicked in 93. It was out for a long time before Little Miss Can't Be Wrong became a hit. And then Two Princes became a hit. A ubiquitous hit. Something you couldn't get away from. To the point where when I was working in Top 40 Radio in 93, 94, I used to work that particular song into my little comedy bits. Because it guaranteed at 7-something in the morning, 7:15, we're going to play Two Princes by the Spin Doctors. Guaranteed. Every single morning. Couldn't get away from that stupid song. I grew to resent it after a while. And yet, I can't really find fault with the Spin Doctors. That first album, kind of good. It's put together very well. To the point where I played in a cover band a number of years ago, and we almost did Jimmy Olsen's Blues. That was the third single from the record. A really good song. We realized it would have taken far too much work to actually learn the guitar solos the way they played it. Very difficult guitar solos. Drum line, very difficult. The fills in it's actually quite challenging. It flows together nicely and it's got groove, but the drum patterns on that album, pretty tough. And you don't realize that. You just think, oh, another one of those damn songs. So anyway, when it was time for the Spin Doctors' second album, nobody could believe that they released this as the first single. And this pretty much killed the Spin Doctors' career right on the spot. From 1994, now this was released about a year after the hits, but released 3 years after that first album. There was a big gap in there, and apparently they had grown in a direction that radio did not appreciate. From 1994, these are the Spin Doctors and Cleopatra's Cat on Crap from the Past.
Cleopatra's favorite cat, bip de lady did. Got his hands on Caesar's spats, bip doop doop bip de lady. The heat was on as you could see, whoop doop bip de lady did. So he phoned up to Mark Anthony, whoop doop bip de lady did. Said my girlfriend's cat is smaller than me, whoop doop bip de lady did. My girlfriend's cat is smaller than me, whoop doop bip de lady did.
Said Brutus had an eye for clothes. Saw them spats, he said, I like those. Caesar had no thing to say. Except Jesu Christe Domine. Et tu te well. Jesu Christe Domine. Et tu te well. The Senate tried to sympathize. It was this cat they should despise. And Father told his whereabouts. Centurion to seek him out. Centurions. There go the centurions. Cleopatra's favorite cat. Cleopatra's favorite cat. Cleopatra's favorite cat. Do better, never do better. Cleopatra's favorite cat. Brutus had to turn his head. When this cat done went and said, if he's got this thing for shoes, said it just might be ambitious too. Got holidays all in his day, and all the time it needs is fame. Those fascists don't play pretty games. Egypt is the place to be. My girlfriend's cat is smaller than me. My girlfriend's cat is smaller than me. Do bep de la de de de. Cleopatra's favorite cat. Caesar never got them back. Cause he killed his ass in the second act. Brutus spoke then Anthony. Smaller than me. Friends, Romans, can't you see? My girlfriend's cat is smaller than me. Egypt's biggest rivalry. Cleopatra's cat and me. Cleopatra's cat and me. Cleopatra's cat and me. Cleopatra's cat.
Monster Gerber.
In fact, he did a pretty good job for a guy who stands about 5'7" and weighs maybe 140 pounds.
On Crap from the Past.
Thinking nothing could go wrong. You and I.
Genesis was, and Phil Collins and the solo work and the Peter Gabriel, all that stuff was so prevalent in the 80s, the whole world was watching. Here, I'll set the scene for you. Phil Collins, well, let's see, Genesis hit big with Misunderstanding in 1980. That was a good-sized record. Phil Collins had a bunch of good solo records. I Missed Again was a fine song. In the Air Tonight was on one of them. You Can't Hurry Love, well, it was successful. Not the greatest record of Phil Collins' career. And then in 1983, Genesis released that the album called Genesis, the one with the puzzle pieces on the cover. Mama was the first single, which was baffling, but that's okay because That's All was the second single. That's All did very nicely and actually put Genesis on the map as far as a lot of pop radio listeners were concerned. That whole album, pretty sturdy. Life was good for the Phil Collins and stuff back then. And then Phil went solo. Well, he released No Jacket Required in 85. Sussudio, successful, certainly successful. One More Night, Don't Lose That Number, Take Me Home. They even had a soundtrack song in there called Separate Lives with Marilyn Martin. Life was pretty good for Phil Collins. So when Genesis got back together, the whole world was watching big time. Because basically, this was the follow-up to No Jacket Required. And pop radio wanted something big. And they put out Invisible Touch? Oh my God! Nobody was more disappointed than I was. I couldn't believe this was the new Genesis single. And of course it hit number one, because what are you going to do? It's going to be big. And it turns out, the rest of the Invisible Touch album redeemed that particular song. Land of Confusion is a terrific record. The video, even better, actually. And the rest of that Invisible, you know, the other singles from Invisible Touch, not all that bad. But boy, that first single was a stinker. And it, yes, that's right. I dare to say so. And there you go. It, for the Moment of Truth single that we're talking about here, that song certainly fits the bill. And it was a big commercial success, but for me anyway, in my humble or not so humble opinion, it did not succeed all that well creatively, like we say here on Crap from the Past. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis 106.7 FM, St. Paul. Radio without boundaries, online at KFAI.org and crapfromthepast.com. I am, in fact, Ron Boogie Monster Gerber, and what we're doing this week is based on an article that was written by Sean Ross and appears online. You can easily find it. He works for Edison Research, and he published a little article talking about the new Kelly Clarkson single. I say new, this thing's been out for a couple weeks now. Radio didn't like it. The fans didn't like it. To the point where I believe she's canceling concerts because, you know, that's not good. Cancel the whole tour? Oh dear, poor Miss Clarkson. Because the last thing she put out with the Since You've Been Gone and the Walk Away, really good. To the point where the whole industry was watching to see what would come out here. And she released some song whose name I don't even know. Radio didn't like it. And oh dear. And it inspired Sean Ross, the columnist, to write this Moment of Truth article, where the Moment of Truth single is when the whole world is watching you. You've had a very successful album. Your project has been huge, and it's the lead-off single from what's following that project. For example, Tears for Fears hit it really big with Songs from the Big Chair. Deservedly so. It's one of the finest albums of the 80s. And it took a while for them to put together a follow-up. But when they did, that first single, Sowing the Seeds of Love, knocked me on my butt. Succeeds beyond their wildest expectations. That's succeeding in the Moment of Truth, basically. And that basically prevented them from being the one-hit wonder type of artist. It guaranteed their little place in history as being a remarkable success story. What else have I played tonight? Voyeur by Kim Carnes, which you played early on in the show. Not so successful. And as the follow-up to Betty Davis Eyes, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. So that's the line we're drawing in the sand tonight. Let's talk about Exposé. I really like Exposé. It's basically the pet project of a guy named Louis Martinet. He was a guy from Miami, and this is his written and produced by project. He got people to sing on it, but basically this is his baby. He released a song in 1985 called Point of No Return. In 1987, he re-recorded the exact same song with all new vocalists and tacked it on the album called, I believe the first album was just called Exposé. Come Go With Me was the first single. Point of No Return sounded just like it, but really two terrific singles that sounded great on the air. Let Me Be the One, Seasons Change. That whole first album, pretty good. So when it came time for the second album, he went back to the well. Maybe a couple of times too often, because what Louis Martinet came up with sounded exactly like Come Go With Me and Point of No Return. It's even the same tempo, so you could have mistaken it for something off that first album. And as a result, yeah, radio played it, but they didn't play it with the same kind of enthusiasm that they did with that that first album. And really, it's kind of a footnote in the career of Exposé. If someone says Exposé, you think Point of No Return or Come Go With Me. You don't think What You Don't Know. And yet, that's what I'm going to play right here. The whole world was watching, and while this wasn't a miserable failure, this kind of tarnished the image of Exposé a little bit. From 1980, let's call it 89. This is What You Don't Know from Exposé on Crap from the Past.
Monster Gerber.
He keeps making noise until it sounds good.
On Crap from the Past.
Can you my baby talk dirty? Can you my baby, she say hurt, hurt, hurt.
If you like My Sharona, Capitol Records thought you're going to love Baby Talks Dirty because it came out a year after that whole Get the Knack album. I blanked out for a second. My Sharona, what's the name of the album? Oh, it's Get the Knack. Wow, that thing was huge in 1979. Really huge, for better or for worse. You either loved My Sharona or you hated it. And by the time a follow-up came around, the whole world was watching What Is the Knack Gonna Do? They released a sound-alike single, which was basically My Sharona 2, which Baby Talks Dirty did not so good. It grazed the bottom of the top 40. And really, that was sort of the end of the Knack. They kept recording over the next 10 years or so, but nobody was paying attention. And I think Doug Feiger, the lead singer, turned up on a couple of Was Not Was albums. As strange as that was. So, we're doing this week here on Crap from the Past, the Moment of Truth singles. The whole world is watching you. What are you going to do? And the singles that I've chosen to play, all kind of falling short on either a creative level or a commercial level. Nobody would say that Better Be Home Soon by Crowded House is a bad song by any means, but didn't hit the pop charts. I don't even think it hit the entire Hot 100, which is kind of sad considering how remarkable Don't Dream It's Over was. You'd think that radio would have responded a little bit better. Anyway, that's what we're doing here on Crap from the Past. Now, if I say the name Christopher Cross, you think he's playing the Numanium. I'm totally going to that. That first Christopher Cross record, kind of good. Guilty pleasure by all standards. Ride Like the Wind, okay, it's undeniable. Sailing, yeah, okay, that works just fine. And it was a third single. Arthur's theme came, yeah, I guess it did. Well, we're discussing amongst ourselves. All I know is that there was a large gap between that first Christopher Cross record and the second Christopher Cross full album. And All Right was the first single, which came out in early 1983. And it did well enough, but did it further advance the creative career of Christopher Cross? Did it send him upwards on the creative arc? I think not. And it wasn't exactly a downward spiral for Christopher Cross, but I think the last time he hit the pop charts was in 1985. So the career was brief, and that's just the way it works in the radio biz. From 1983, this is the first single from that second album. This is All Right from Christopher Cross on Crap from the Past.
Boogie Monster Gerber.
I'd like to thank my old friend, Dean Martin, for giving me the opportunity to kiss Don Rickles on network television this week.
On Crap from the Past.
Why make the past your sacred cow? Why guess you change? You change.
Career killer? You could say that. Brother, that was ABC, the same guys who did The Look of Love and Poison Arrow. That first ABC album is a classic, and I don't use the word classic often, if ever. But The Lexicon of Love, Trevor Horn production from 1982, magnificent on every level. So what are they going to follow it up with? Okay, that was then, this is now. Okay, it's not so bad, I guess, although a colossal disappointment after The Lexicon of Love. Not produced by Trevor Horn. They parted ways with Trevor Horn, set out on their own, and released Beauty Stab, one of the worst albums of the 80s, unfortunately. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. And it's remarkable that ABC was able to come back from that. Be Near Me was the next big hit they had, which was just fine. How to Be a Millionaire, nothing wrong with that. When Smokey Sings, it gets the job done. And so ABC recovered a little bit, but when the whole world was watching, brother, and that was then, this is now, I think got as high as number 89 on the pop charts. Not a big hit by any stretch of the imagination. So what we've been doing this week, we've been doing the Moment of Truth singles. It's based on an article by Sean Ross that you can find online. I encourage you to do so, actually. He works for Edison Research, so type in Sean Ross, Edison Research. It'll take you right there. But In honor of Kelly Clarkson canceling her entire tour because radio didn't like her new single, Sean Ross was inspired to write a whole column of stuff like this, talking about when the whole world is watching you, coming off the really big project, the really big hit, the really big album, what happens? Sometimes it doesn't go so well, and that's what we've been doing tonight here on Crap from the Past. So, pretty terrific, eh? If you missed this show, I don't see how you'd actually hear this if you missed this show, but you can certainly hear it online at crapfromthepast.com and kfai.org. And what do you know? Danger Man just entered the studio.
And I can't believe it. For some reason, I've been trying to think all night of really an example of this, and I just remembered now with thinking of this Kelly Clarkson thing. It's Paula Abdul.
Oh, yeah, Rush, Rush.
That I call that album Smellbound because that stunk. That album was awful. But after those massive hits on that first Paula Abdul album.
Yeah, there are actually a couple I didn't get to tonight. And Rush, Rush by Paula Abdul from 1991. Change by Lisa Stansfield, also from 91, because yep. Affection was terrific. Simply Irresistible by Robert Palmer. I like the stuff of Riptide. I hated everything else he released after that. Prayer for the Dying by Seal was the lead-off single from that second album. Humping Around by Bobby Brown. Cry for Help by Rick Astley. Do You Want to Get Funky by CNC Music Factory, which nobody remembers from 1994. And one final example. So if you're listening to KFAI, you're going to want to stay tuned because Club Disco is going to be taking the airwaves in a scant 3 minutes. It's going to be good. Bunch of disco stuff. Ronnie D's here. He's so happy. He's extremely happy. You can hear the oars in the background. Stupid Michael Zager, I ought to have him killed. I know, that Let's All Chant song. Yeah, I was responsible for that god-awful. Do you know I've never figured out who... Here, I'll turn on your mic, Ron. I've never figured out who started that pew sound from Ring My Bell and the second time around by Shellmark.
That dove coo?
No, that pew. Pew.
Yeah, that gets a little annoying. Not a bad song, not a bad groove, but it gets a little annoying.
But I know where the came from the Michael Zager band.
What year was that released?
78.
There you go.
I'm on top of things, but I can't figure out who started the pew sound that I love so much.
It's called an instrument or a computer.
Yeah, but so. These are the mysteries that plague us. One more. I'm going to end up going a little over. Is that all right?
No problem.
Because we blab too much. This is Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis 106.7 FM, St. Paul. I'm Ron Boogie Monster Gerber. I'll be back next week without a theme. But this week, the career killer of career killers. And this is the most egregious example I could think of outside of Moby Grape. But this is, boy, this did it in for them. Wang Chung was hitting bigger and bigger and bigger as the 80s wore on. Dance Hall Days did just fine. Don't Let Go, nothing wrong with that. And then they had a couple of soundtrack singles from The Breakfast Club. And then Everybody Have Fun Tonight, a dumb song. But the Mosaic album was pretty good. And really, Wang Chung was in good shape in 87. I don't know what they were smoking, though, because 2 years later, when it was time to follow up Mosaic, they put out The Warmer Shade of Cool. Or A Warmer Shade of Cool? I forget. It's one of the worst albums that came out in the 80s. Nobody was more disappointed than I was. And I'm going to play you The Bright Spot from the album, which isn't saying much. This was the lead-off single from that Warmer Shade of Cool album that peaked at number 63 on the pop charts. This is Praying to a New God by Wang Chung, and you're not going to enjoy this. I'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
street outside, in the street outside, in the uniform, in the uniform of pride. And they've all come to see the star from the east, see the star from the east. Is he man or beast?
You are listening to KFI Radio, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, 106.7 FM, St. Paul. Hot show, crap in the past. Good job, Ron.